We serve a great God. We serve a good God. Amen. Praise God. Let's just close our eyes for a moment. We're just going to thank the Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity that we have, Lord, here this morning to be able to just speak. Lord, I pray that you would use my mouth to be able to proclaim the gospel, Lord. Give me the right words to say. Father, I pray that everything that I do say would be led by your Holy Spirit and nothing would come from my intellect in Jesus' name. I pray that people here this morning, that all of us, Father, including myself, would be encouraged, would be challenged, Father, and would be changed at the end of this meeting. For your glory, Lord, and for your glory only, we praise you and we thank you and we love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Praise God. So, this morning, I've been trying to figure out what to talk about, and I've been looking at a few different things over the last 2-3 weeks, I suppose. And the Lord spoke to me probably about 2 weeks ago about something, but since then I've changed completely what I was going to say. But I might just drop that in there for someone. Maybe you just need to hear this. I believe that each one of us has a future and a hope. Amen? And some people think that things that have happened in our past can influence us. And yes, they probably can. Some decisions that have been made by our fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers. But what I want to tell you is this, that our God can change any situation around. Amen? And he's a covenant God. He's a God who can help us and who can change our situation in our future if we look to him. So don't ever be tricked into believing that the devil has got your future because of what someone else did in your past. God has your future and God can change anything that's ever happened in your past, even before you're born. Amen? So that's not what I'm going to speak about, but that's what maybe someone needed to hear this morning. And there is a verse of scripture, if I can find it now, that speaks a little bit about that. But like I said, I don't want to get too caught up in that because that's not what I'm speaking about. And if someone needed to hear that, I think it's in I think it's in Ezekiel. Yeah, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 4. So if you need to write that down and go home and speak about and look at that and read it, just read that whole chapter. And verse 14 as well. So Ezekiel chapter 18, read the whole chapter. Okay, so what I'm speaking about this morning is called God's covenant blessing. God's covenant blessing. God promised a blessing to Moses and his people, and that same blessing, I believe, is valid for us today. Amen? So in Deuteronomy chapter 28, if you have your Bible or if you're taking notes down, Deuteronomy chapter 28, that's it. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1 to verse 14. Here God is speaking to his people and telling us to obey the Lord. Obey in the Hebrew means listen. We must listen carefully to the voice of the Lord and do what he says. So I might just read that really quickly. It says this, if you fully obey the Lord, if you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commandments I give to you today, the Lord your God will set you above all the nations on the earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. Do you see this obey popping up all the time? Obey, obey, obey. You will be blessed in the city and you will be blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed and the crop of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flock, your baskets and your kneading troughs will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and you will be blessed when you go out. We're up to verse 7. The Lord will grant you, will grant that the enemies who rise against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction, but they will flee in Seven directions. I love that number seven. There's a lot of meaning behind seven. The Lord will send you a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hands to. Junior, everything you put your hands to. Amen. Amen. The Lord will the Lord your God will bless you in the land that he is giving you. The Lord will establish you as the holy people, as he has promised on an oath. If you keep, but see, there's always something there. If you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to them. Some people like the blessing bit, but they cut that last piece. All right, so the Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he has promised on earth, if you keep his commandments, the commandments of the Lord your God, and you walk in obedience to him. Then all the people on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in your fruit of your womb, in your young of your livestock, the crops of your ground, in the land that he has sworn to your ancestors to give to you. The Lord will open the heavens, the storehouse of his bounty, to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the works of your hands. You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day, and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top and never at the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands that I have given you today, from any of the commands, not just the ones we like, but from any of the commands that I give you today, not to the right, not to the left, or to follow other gods or serve them. There's a lot to take in, isn't it? It's a lot to take in, but I believe that there's a lot there to learn. And we'll probably not be able to go over every single part of it, but you can read it at home. But verse 1 speaks about God blesses those who hear and obey. Hear and obey. It's not good enough just hearing. You must obey. You can hear that the speed limit is 110, but if you do not obey the speed limit and you travel at 119 like I did, you will get booked. And the policeman will be angry with you, even though it was only 9 kilometres over the speed limit. He was going to throw the book at me. And I thought that was harsh. But anyway, I did not obey. Do you see what I mean? So God blesses those who hear and obey. It was only 9. I said, that's only 9. He said, I don't care. You were doing something illegal. Okay. So now you will suffer the consequences and you will lose the points and you will pay the fine. Okay. God blesses those who hear and who obey. God will set you high and not below. God will set you up high and not below. Verse 2. So I'm just abbreviating. Verse 3. Blessed in the city and blessed in the country. So if you live in the city, you will be blessed. And if you live in the outback in the country, you will also be blessed. Verse 4 speaks about fruitfulness in every area of our lives, our womb, our crop, livestock, etc., etc., etc. God will bless those areas of our lives. Verse 5, your basket, and your kneading, this is a thing, troll. Is that how you pronounce that word, troll? What it is, troughs, yeah, okay. So what it is, if anyone's ever made bread, well, probably these days you press a button, throw the flour in, and out comes the bread. But in the older days, and I remember my grandmother and whatnot used to do this, there was like a wooden gadget about this big, and they would knead the flour and the water there and make the bread and let it rest and let it put yeast in it and make it rise. So, yeah. So that's what that is talking about, that you will be blessed when you're making bread and in your kitchens for the ladies. You will be blessed in your kitchens. Amen? Yeah. God will bless the food that you're making for your families. Amen. You'll be blessed when you come in and when you go out in every activity, in your daily activities. God will bless you. Verse 7, victory over the enemies. They will come in one direction but flee in seven. So when people are coming against you, yeah, they may come in one direction, but they will end up going seven different ways because you have the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth, that's living in your life. Amen? Amen. Verse 8, the Lord will send a blessing on your barns, on your houses, and on everything that you put your hands to. Amen? On your barns, on your houses, and everything that you put your hands to. What an amazing thought that everything you put your hand to, God is going to bless. That just blows my mind. Are you excited? Because I am. That really excites me that God will bless if I do what it says there. Everything I put my hands to, God is going to bless. Do you want that for you?
Yes.
Do you want that for you down there?
Yes.
Amen. Praise God. Someone does. Amen. Do you want what I'm talking about? Everything that you touch, God was going to bless. Do you want it this morning?
Yes.
Amen. God will establish us as his holy people unto himself. Holiness is one of the blessings if we keep his commandments and walk in obedience. If we keep his commandments, I've underlined that here, and walk in obedience. Verse 10 speaks about feared by others because of God's presence in us. That was an example the other day at work. They were talking about some sort of rubbish and looking at their phones, and all of a sudden, oh, Lawrence is walking in, put your phone down, he'll get upset over it, you know what he's like. So that's good. I want that.
Yeah.
I want them to know that I don't accept the rubbish that they carry on with. This should cause change. This should cause change in other people around us, in the attitude of others around us, because they know who we stand for and what we believe. Amen? Verse 11 speaks about abounding in prosperity and taking hold of his abundance. Verse 12 speaks about the weather, even about the weather, that God will open the floodgates of heaven and send rain and water. Do you know water is the essence of life? If we don't have any water, we don't have life. We need water. And if you're from Canada, just keep in mind that 40% of the water on earth belongs to you. If you live in Canada, 40%, that's a lot, isn't it? So let's hope those nuclear reactors that are right on the water don't ever go wrong, because we're in trouble, everyone's in trouble. Verse 13, we will be the head and not the tail. We will be above and not beneath. The head and not the tail. Above and not beneath. God's covenant blessing. Some people have said that everything that God did was covenantal. E.g., he created marriage and relationships, relationship with him, relationship with each other. Even in our governments, we have a word that says federal. Federal government. This comes from the Latin word and it means covenanted or covenant. So we need to know that prosperity is about covenant. When we start to think this way, we will start to walk in greater blessings and we will start to please God in our lives in a greater degree. God has great blessings for each and every one of us. Psalm chapter 34, verse 10. I don't know if that verse is actually there, but if not, Junior. I'm going to pick on Junior. I always do anyway. Junior, 34. Is there? Okay. So, the lion may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord will lack nothing that is good. Amen?
Amen.
Fear the Lord. Those who fear him, there is no want, I've written down, or lack nothing that is good. Psalm 84, 11. No good thing. No good thing will God withhold to those who walk uprightly. That's the condition, walking uprightly. God's provision is in his promise. The promises are our inheritance. Amen?
Amen.
The promises are our inheritance. All God's promises are ours in Christ Jesus. The promises are the expression of God's will. The promises are the expression of God's will. The fulfillment of God's promises does not depend on our circumstances, but upon our meeting God's condition. Did that just go over your head, or do we get that one? The fulfillment of God's promises doesn't depend on our circumstances, but upon our meeting God's conditions. So what am I saying with that? Doesn't matter what circumstance you find yourself in. God's promises doesn't depend about the circumstance, but it depends on us meeting God's conditions and being faithful to Him. The Holy Spirit is the administrator of the total inheritance. So let's look and listen to Him. He is the administrator of the total inheritance. So let's look to Him. The head and not the tail. Are we above or underneath? What does it mean? What's the difference? The head makes the decisions. The head up here makes the decisions. The head sets the course for what you're about to do. The head sets the course for what you are about to do. But the tail follows along wherever you go. Look at a cat. Look at a dog. The head makes a decision. It's going to bite someone, or it's going to have food, or whatever the case may be. And the tail drags along from behind. What are we, the head or the tail? The head sets the course, but the tail just follows. Wherever the head goes, that's where the tail goes. Let's ask ourselves, are we the head? Are we making the decisions? Are we making the decisions? Or are we the tail that just gets pulled around by situations and circumstances by which sometimes we have no control? I'll just read it again. Are we making decisions? Are we making the decisions? Or are we just the tail that gets pulled along by situations and circumstances by which we have sometimes no control? Are we living like the head or like the tail? I'm speaking to myself as well. I'm not just here preaching to you and I'm so perfect and, yeah, it's not like that. Are we living like the head or living like the tail? Are we under the circumstance or are we above the circumstance? Are we under the circumstance or are we above the circumstance? God gives His best to those who leave the choices to Him. God gives His best to those who leave the choices to Him. God understands us. Yes, He does. Everyone. Everyone in this room. Don't ever think for a moment that God doesn't understand you or that He doesn't understand your situation or what you are going through, because He does. God understands us and He loves us better than we understand or love ourselves. If we could only trust in Him and listen to His voice and do what He says, the blessings will take care of themselves. If we can only trust and do what He says and listen to His voice, the blessings will take care of themselves. Sorry, but I keep on repeating myself sometimes, but I don't know. I do that at work so many times to make people understand. They still sometimes think, why is he saying it twice? Because I don't want you to make the mistake. You have to do this. And sometimes God is the same with us and me. You need to do this. If you don't do this, you will make a mistake and then you will reap the consequences of your mistake. So don't do that. Let's summarise a little bit about what we spoke about in Deuteronomy 28, 1 to 14. I think the first thing is, if we want to just put a few titles down or points, dot points. One, exaltation. Exaltation. Two is health. These are the benefits, the covenant. Three is fruitfulness. Four is prosperity. Five is victory. And six is God's favor. I'm just going to go over it again, just to summarize that Deuteronomy 28. Exaltation, number one. Health, number two. Fruitfulness, number three. Prosperity, number four. Number five, victory. And number six, God's favor. Who wouldn't want those six things? Do you want those six things I just spoke about? Exaltation, health, prosperity, fruitfulness, victory, God's favor. Do you want those things? Yes. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's a man who went to church one day and he says to his brother in Christ, "How are you, my brother?" And the guy answers and says to him, "Under the circumstances, not too bad." So the guy says, "Well, what are you doing under the circumstance? You should be above the circumstance." Amen. Amen? Under the circumstance, not too bad. Well, you shouldn't be under that circumstance. You should be above. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's live above our circumstances and not be led by the circumstances. Jeremiah 7:22, and also verse 23 as well. It says here, there's also verse 23, which I haven't got up there, but anyway. It speaks about burnt offerings, and it says in verse 23, it is not about burnt offerings, but hearing and obeying. So hearing equals listening, I've written down. Hearing equals listening. Obeying means doing. Hearing, listening, go together. Obeying, doing. Obey and do. Amen? John 10:27, my sheep hear and follow. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you want to be a person who receives these things that I've spoken about, these covenant blessings, you need to be a sheep that listens to the voice of the Lord, because he will know them and they will follow me. If you've ever seen a flock of sheep or a flock of goats, which I have, used to go out sometimes with these goats as a little fella. And what happens is goats like to eat leaves off a branch, for example, here, see? So if there was a goat here and I went like this, or like this, they would love that. They start eating the leaves, right? But the goat has to be pretty close by to be able to see what I'm doing. You want some leaves. But if the goat is down the end of Deloret Square or down the end of Queen Street or down near the university, and I'm saying, "Come on, come over here and have something to eat." No good. Too far away. Why? Can't hear. Do you want God to bless you? Do you want God's blessings? Do you want his covenant blessings? Well, guess what? You need to be close so that God can say, "Here. You're close to me. Here." But if you're too far away doing your own stuff in your own circumstances, it's pretty hard to hear. You're too far away. Amen? Too far away. Let's get closer to God. Let's, me, myself included, let's get closer to God. Because he wants to give us the blessings. Amen? He wants to give us the blessings. So there's some people in this world, now they may not be Christians, but what they've done is they've been people that don't give up. And so this morning I've spoken to you about the covenant blessings and how you can be blessed with God, but I also want to say to you, don't give up. Don't give up. So many people give up so quickly on their dreams, on their future. Breaks my heart sometimes to hear stuff on the television, and even a guy at work the other day about young people taking their own lives and things like that. That just breaks my heart so much because they have given up. And the devil wants people to give up. But I want to say to you this morning, don't give up. Don't ever give up. Keep fighting, keep going, because you will get there. Amen? You will win. You will win because you have God on your side. And some of the people that we're going to speak about very briefly are people who didn't give up. Like I said, they may not be Christians, but they didn't give up. One of these guys, his name is Thomas Edison. That's what he looks like. Do you know him? You do? If it wasn't for this guy, we'd probably be still using candles in our houses. Light globe man. So this guy here, he went through some pretty tough times. Discouragement, he got fired from his job. People and his teachers said this to this man here: "You're too dumb to learn anything, and there is no hope for you." That's what the teacher said to that bloke there. "You're too dumb to learn anything, and there is no hope for you." Good on you, teacher. Pretty smart, hey? He even stopped his formal education at the age of 12 years old. So he stopped going to school at 12 years old. He failed no less than 1,000 times with his invention. No less than 1,000 times. I probably would have failed after 3 or 4. This guy kept on going for no less than 1,000 times with his invention. He got fired from his first 2 jobs, sacked, after leaving acid on his boss's desk. He ignored the circumstances, but yet this man was successful. He was a successful inventor. He had a great influence on picture, camera, and of course the light globe. And like I said, if it wasn't for him, we would probably be having candles to be able to see at night. Everything went wrong, but he discarded all the stuff and he kept going. Thomas Edison. Have you ever heard of Kentucky Fried Chicken? You young people only call it KFC, but when I was young, it was called Kentucky Fried Chicken, and then all the people said it was unhealthy, so they changed the name. The chicken remained the same, but the name changed. True? Do you remember? It's true. Kentucky Fried Chicken everywhere. Then, oh, fried food's no good for you. It's fatty. Okay, let's change the name, but the food's still the same. But the young people call it KFC because they don't know it was called Kentucky Fried Chicken. Colonel Sanders. That's the guy's name, Colonel Sanders. This fellow here went through a lot of problems, a lot of situations, a lot of heartache, a lot of discouragement. A lot of people said he's good for nothing. When he was 6 years old, his father passed away, leaving him to cook for his siblings. At the seventh grade, he dropped out of school and left home to go to work as a farmhand. At 16, he got enlisted. He lied about his age and got enlisted in the United States Army. A year later, he was honorably discharged. He got hired on the railway as a labourer, but then he got fired because he was fighting with his co-workers. He studied law and got fired from there as well. His legal career came to an end again because of fighting. He must have liked to fight everyone. He started selling insurance, and guess what? Got fired again. He founded a ferry company and later traded it in because it wasn't doing well. Then we had World War the world war that came into it and the depression and all the rest of the stuff. So everything was going really bad for this guy. He just couldn't take a break. At the age of 40, he began to sell chicken dishes to a service station. And then there was a deadly shootout out the front. I don't know too much more about that, but yeah, anyway. So what he'd done was he continued. This guy, Colonel Sanders, was rejected, it says here, up to 1,009 times for what he had to offer. This is what I've got. This is what I can do. Try it. 1,009 times he was rejected. But he did not lose the dream. He didn't lose or give up. So that's what I'm trying to bring across with all this stuff this morning is don't give up. Keep going. This guy here, internationally, $15.3 million today. And his logo appears in most countries of the earth. He didn't want to give up. He wanted to keep his dream alive. Sometimes he would sleep in his car, but he would always have his white suit on with his little tie because he said, I need to look professional. That's why I got a white shirt on this morning. Need to look professional. So he kept on getting no. 1,009 times, didn't give up. Today we know he's a success story everywhere and most places in the world. This other guy, most of you know him, especially young ones with computers and all the rest of it. Steve Jobs, founder of Apple Inc. Incorporated. Didn't get a degree from college. He failed. Started a company, him and another guy. And do you know what happened? They fired him from his own company. Is that right, Jim? They sacked him from his own company. Imagine, the company you built from scratch turns their back against you. Humiliated, depressed, and unemployed, he said, I'm not going to give up. 11 years later, after he was sacked or told to leave, Apple decided that they needed help. They were just on the verge of bankruptcy because it was at the time when Microsoft was soaring. So being the brains behind Apple Inc., Steve Jobs crawled back. And coming back into the business made Apple one of the most leading pioneers of gadgets and technologies that we have today. Someone who didn't give up. This other fellow, you all know who he is, don't you? Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, one of the geniuses. Even though we consider him as a genius today, he had communicating problems up to when he was 4 years old. At elementary school, the teachers and professors labelled him as sloppy and lazy. They believed that he would never become successful. Too lazy in school, not the type. Not the type to memorise his books and the things that he were giving him. But this man believed that he should never give up. And he kept on going and going and going. And even in his circumstances that people kept on putting negative things on him, he didn't give up. And he is the man that we know today. The next guy, Abraham Lincoln, faced many adversities and failures. Don't let your failures bring you down. Don't be a quitter. Persist. Persistence is the key. That's what Abraham Lincoln done. Encouraged, because of all the failures that he was having, encouraged himself and did not want to give up. Several times he felt like giving up, but he did not give up. His mother died, his business failed. He tried to run for state legislator and he lost. He got fired from his job. He wanted to go to law school, but he couldn't even get in. He started a business and borrowed money from his friends, but at the end of the year, he faced bankruptcy. Can you imagine how tough it must have been for him in those days when lending money to someone was very important to get it paid back? But he never gave up. In 1834, he tried running for state legislator again, and he won this time. He got engaged. When he thought everything was going okay, he got engaged and he was about to get married. His sweetheart died just before they got married. He had a nervous breakdown and he was bedridden for 6 months. After that, he tried to enter politics again and faced defeat numerous times. He said, "I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to lose hope." And in 1860, he was elected the U.S. President. President of America. Didn't give up. His legacy lives on. He changed the nation's history, despite many adversaries and failures. Don't give up, ICC. You keep going. Amen? Now we're getting to someone a bit more modern. You know her? Oprah Winfrey. Failures, a lot of them. Stepping stones, a poor person with parents that were poor and unreasonable. She was sexually abused and judged because of the colour of her skin. But she didn't let anything bring her down. She's a powerful entrepreneur and the first African-American billionaire. She didn't give up. She didn't let all the circumstances that she faced crush her. Don't let your circumstances this morning crush you. I could talk more about her, but time's starting to get away. Next guy, Henry Ford. What's this guy saying? Failure is simply the opportunity to begin again, this time more intelligently. Failure isn't bad, but you can learn from it. We should embrace sometimes failure because we have another opportunity to learn and keep going. This guy built an empire, successful empire that's still today on the roads, Ford badges everywhere. This man viewed opportunity and began and kept going and going and going, overcoming significant setbacks, facing bankruptcy before he launched the Ford Motor Company. This next person, believed to be richer than the Queen of England, J.K. Rowling. I don't personally like some of the stuff that she did, but anyway, one of these, she's the Henry Potter brains. Harry Potter, Henry Potter. I've got Henry Ford on my mind from the previous slide, see? Harry Potter films. They reckon that she's worth well over $1 billion. But she wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. In her early years, she was a single mum living in Edinburgh in an apartment that was full of rats. This mother tried to make ends meet And when she was with her typewriter, I had to go down to the cafe to be able to write on a cafe. She was judged, she was put down, but she became successful because she didn't give up, even though all the odds were against her. This next person, Franklin Roosevelt. When you think the failure has got you, keep going. Don't accept failure because you are above and not beneath. Amen? He became the 32nd President of the United States. People call him Teddy Roosevelt. Faced with many hardships in life, despite him being born into a wealthy family, so this is the opposite to the other guys, things didn't get easy for him. He graduated, yes. He was pretty clever, yes. But in 1921, he was infected with polio and his body became paralyzed from the waist down and he lost the ability to walk. Most times you see this guy, you don't see him in a wheelchair because you didn't want people to see him in a wheelchair. But he couldn't walk. He was the 32nd President of America. And he didn't give up. He didn't give up with his illnesses. And in fact, if you read a little bit about his story, his personality changed from very arrogant, to a very warm-hearted and deep-full person that really wanted to have things to do with others. So in all this, all I'm saying this morning is this. Don't forget, we have a covenant God. Might get the music team to come up. We have a covenant working God who has promises for us if we obey our part of the story, our part of the bargain. But we need to obey. We need to keep our part and do what God says. And don't give up like these 10 people that I've just mentioned to you. They're inspirational because they never gave up. They never gave up. They kept on going even though odds were against them. Maybe the odds are against you this morning. Maybe you can look at these people that we spoke about and you think, I'm in a situation that's really difficult, or I'm in a situation that I need God's help in. Well, more than these people that we spoke about, you have God on your side. So how much more should we keep going and never give up? Amen? Don't ever give up. Keep going. You have God on your side and you will be victorious. You will be victorious. Amen? Not only will you be victorious, but I believe your family will be victorious. Your spouses, your kids, and even your grandkids will be victorious because of what you do and the decisions that you make.